to just share to you, share a little bit to you tonight what I shared at the ladies' camp. So ladies who were on the camp, I'm sorry. I have edited it, so it's a little bit different as I've had more revelation. So it's a little bit different. So, but you ladies can just bear with me as it goes on. So tonight's encounters, this word encounter, it's like a new buzz in the church. It's only been around, it hasn't been around for very, very long, if I can say that. And everyone is speaking about encounters, encounters, got to have encounters, want to have encounters, want to encounters. And so what is an encounter and what does an encounter actually mean? And so the dictionary, I went to the dictionary, and the dictionary means, the meaning is to come upon or meet with. Very basic. To come upon or meet with. Another definition is to meet unexpectedly. You walk into someone, I'm walking down the road and I encountered Russell today, or I encountered this person. But the very essence of the word encountered, it means it's a personal one-on-one connection when you and that person met eye to eye. And so although if you look up encounters in your concordance in the Bible, which I did, you won't find anything. You really won't. But if you, it's almost a term like saved. We all know that we need to be saved. If you look up saved in your concordance, you're not going to find that term. So it's basically a terminology. But when we say encounters, we're saying a one-on-one meeting with God. And just in our line of thinking, as we've come from on this journey of grace, the first thing that's been highlighted to me is that through the cross, encounters have changed. And if you have a look at, we have pre-cross and we have post-cross. If you look in the Bible and you read up in the Bible about encounters, you see that pre-cross, there was a visitation culture. God came and he visited his people. Post-cross, later, it's a habitation culture. Because now there's a habitation. We inhabit Pinetown. We live in Pinetown. We move in Pinetown. And we do everything in Pinetown. We live in Pinetown. So Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So basically, I just wanted to go through this with you. And when we speak about anything, we go straight away to the Bible. We have a look. Were there encounters in the Bible? Let's have a look at some of them. And the very first one is in Genesis 12. We come across it when the Lord came to Abraham and he said to Abraham, the great promise. We all know what the great promise is. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. But the word very clearly says there, the Lord came to Abraham. It's very clear. So he had a supernatural God the Father encounter with the dude who created the earth. He spoke it into being. I mean, it's awesome. Okay, I don't want to go too much. Let's turn to Exodus 33, if we can do that quickly, because this just, when I read this afternoon, I was like bouncing out of my chair. I'll just read. It says there in Exodus, I can't see the verse now, I didn't write it down, but it is here. It says, as Moses, this is how God met with Moses on one occasion. Now we know that God met with Moses on many occasions, but how's this? As Moses went into the tent, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. A pillar of cloud. This is spooky spiritual. And we think, I mean, we don't realize the enormity of this encounter. We read over it, but a cloud appeared at the tent. And he was talking to a cloud called God. So anyone who was looking from the outside was going, that man is crazy. He is loony. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's verse 9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. And then if I just wanted to highlight to you about after in that encounter, the Lord, if you read up about encounters in the Bible, the Lord will come in his amazing way, but he'll always ignite a passion, a destiny, and a calling and a direction over his people. So in that moment, the Lord spoke to Moses, and I don't want to go into it because it's really not what I'm speaking about, but it is so exciting. Like, Moses is totally set free. And we see in the very next verse, in 34, it says, when his face was radiant, and as he walked out, it says here, that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. So something had happened. Now, I know this is later on, but something had happened in that encounter where God shone off Moses. It was a spiritual encounter, and this is just so exciting. And he says later, he says to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Can you imagine God? I mean, this is before the cross. So God was big. He is still so huge. But in those days, they couldn't see God and live. There was this holiness. There was this awe. There was this majesty. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. We see in Genesis 28 another encounter where Jacob lay down and God decided to speak to Jacob in a dream. And we know that story where Jacob was lying down at Bethel and he went into a sleep and he had the dream of heaven, and he saw a ladder going from earth to heaven, and it says the angels were ascending and descending, and the Father was standing on the top of the angels, and then the Father spoke. And we know the story of Jacob. God spoke a significant meaning and destiny over Jacob, so much so that later on we know that Jacob even wrestled with an angel because he said, Father, I cannot go anywhere without your presence. I will need your blessing. It was a significant moment in Jacob's life. We also know, I didn't want to bore you, but we also know in 1 Samuel, we know Samuel was lying in bed and the Lord, he physically, audibly spoke and he called Samuel, 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 Samuel. That was a God encounter. That was God coming to Samuel. And God was visiting. And Samuel had to have ears and say, yes, Lord, here I am. What do you want to say? But so that is before the cross. Now we know that Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins. And we now know that when Jesus went, he sent the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit could be our counselor. And we know that we have Jesus, the hope of glory, inside of us. And we now know that we have Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us as our counselor. So if we start to look for encounters in the New Testament, you see a big change. It says in Acts 8, it speaks about Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip was on his way. He was en route to some destiny, or it's a big name, and he decided to go another route. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he actually didn't understand the book of Isaiah. And next thing, the Lord, it says there, it says in Acts 8, it says, the Spirit told Philip to go to the chariot and stay near it. The Spirit. So now we see a movement. We see it's not so much God visiting, it's not so much an angel, it's now the Spirit inside of Philip. And we know that story about the eunuch, and he got saved, and he got baptized. And then the most exciting thing about this is that after they got baptized, it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and he continued on his journey. Are you guys familiar with this story? I don't have to tell you the story. I just want to highlight the kind of encounter. So that's why I'm not going into depth. But the Spirit took him away. The Spirit, it was a different thing now. You know, it was the Spirit. We also see in Acts 10, Peter has a vision. And it says specifically, Peter was lying down because Peter was hungry. And so Peter was just, he was just on his balcony. He was chilling and he was about to sleep. And then next thing, he just saw this vision. And we know about the vision of the sheets coming down and the animals. It was all different kinds of animals. And it says, and God basically said, do not call anything impure that God has created. So, and then we also do see that God sets these two men up through the Spirit by visions. He doesn't appear in the way that he did in the Old Testament. And this is incredibly, it's a mind-changing, it's a mindset that we as Christians need to change. Because often we stand in meetings and we say, okay, fine, if God's going to come, he must come. He must blow in this room. If God's going to move, I want to see the chairs move back. I want to see the curtains moving. I want to feel God. Really, people feel that. They want to see the power of God because that is how God did it in the Old Testament. And now, please hear me, guys. I'm not discrediting God in any way, because by no means God can appear here right now and an angel can appear. God's voice can come down and we can all hear God. It says in Psalm 115 that God does what he pleases. So the minute we put God into a box, we've actually limited ourselves from being blessed by God. But what I'm actually trying to say to you tonight is that things have changed. And when we want encounters and we regularly want to meet with the Father and we regularly want to meet with the Holy Spirit, we actually need to see what he's done in the Bible. Because we don't want to miss out on him in any way. And so we can see now that actually he has chosen not to visit us specifically, but to dwell inside of us. He has chosen through his Holy Spirit to inhabit us. We have moved from the visitation to the inhabitation. We now inhabit the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus lives in us. Jesus is in the Father. The Father is in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working. We are with them permanently. Suddenly there's a mind shift. It's not an external thing of God coming to speak. It's not an external mindset of God's got to do this for me to believe him or for me to hear him speak. It's now moved to an internal. It's actually, I have God and he's in me. Holy Spirit is in me. It's moved. Do you understand? Getting the point. So we change our view of encountering. It's not external, it's internal. Basically, encountering God is whenever you want it, how you want it, when you want it. On Friday night, James was out, my baby was asleep, I sat down, I ate my dinner, and my favorite dancing movie was on TV, and I thought, oh, I just really want to watch this movie, because James never lets me watch dancing movies. So I can actually watch this movie, Step Up 4, and then I sat there, and I thought, no, I can encounter Jesus tonight. I've got freedom. The house is mine. And I thought, oh, so I switched it off. I thought, I've seen the movie in any case. It doesn't matter. But I chose to chill out. Instead of chilling out and just doing nothing in front of the couch, I made a conscious decision that tonight I'm making time for me and the Lord, and I am going to encounter him. And man, I had such a party. It was awesome. It was absolutely, I can't share it with you because we don't have all the time. But we really, so we get to choose. My point is, you get to choose. You can have as much encounters as you want, or you can have as little encounters as you want. It's all, the ball is in your court. Now, the great thing about encounters, the most amazing thing, well, one of the most amazing things, is that encounters, they're not only cool, they not only invigorate you, but they change your name. Let me show you. In Genesis 12, I'm just going to read this. I'm not very good at scriptures, so I've got to stick to my notes. But in Genesis 12, we know that scripture where the Lord came to Abraham. He said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. He then comes again in Genesis 17 to Abraham. And the Lord comes again. In Genesis 17, 3-5, the Lord comes again and visits. And he says, no longer will your name be Abraham, but Abraham. So Abraham changes to Abraham in the most powerful way. We see this in Jacob. I've touched already on Jacob seeing the vision with the staircase. And I've said already that Jacob then, he wrestled with the angel. He then wanted the blessing of the Lord. And in Genesis 35, verses 10, God appears to Jacob, and he says to Jacob, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And I looked that up. The meaning of Jacob means that that supplants, that that undermines, or the heel. Okay? So God knew that's what Jacob's name means. He turned Jacob's name into Israel, and Israel is exactly what Jacob did. It means God, he contended with God, or to wrestle with God. Can you see the blessing? God turned Jacob's name into, he reminded him, every time I'm calling you Israel, you are reminded of the time that you wrestled with me, and I said to you, I will give you my blessing. So now, for us today, when we said yes to Jesus, and when we encounter Jesus for the very first time, and we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, because if you didn't ask Jesus to, if you can't get saved without having an encounter. Something was real in your heart at that time. You knew you had to do it. You knew God was real. That was your first encounter. Very special. When you said yes to Jesus, God changed your name from a sinner to a saint. Automatically. You became a Christian. You had a name change. Now that you're a Christian, you're now living up to something a whole lot new. You're different. I'm a Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like, little Christ. Every time you say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm now a new believer, I'm a little Christ, I'm Christ-like. You're speaking, I'm Christ-like over your life. You're speaking, this is what I'm doing, this is my destiny. I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. Can you understand? And now you guys are still sitting here. So even in your encounters with God, God comes. He's not going to change my name to Sarah or my name to Mary, because that's silly, but it's a spiritual thing. That's what I'm trying to say. When you encountered God, you changed, and you even had a name change. So I just wanted to quickly share my first encounter, and my very, very first encounter for me was, other than giving my heart to Jesus, I was at a youth camp. I did not want to go on this camp. I was very anti-highway church because I was at another church down the road, and to be honest, there was just some horrible stuff going on, and I was just quite over church. And my good old granny, paid for my friend and I to go on this youth camp. But she paid without asking us if we wanted to go on the youth camp. So I'd been a youth leader in that church, and I knew how God worked. So I knew this was a work of God. I mean, I didn't ask to go on the camp, but I just knew that God was going to do something significant in my life at that time. But you know, like, for some reason, you just don't want it to happen. So you just put your heels in the ground and you try and fight that thing. I don't know why. But long story short, the very first night I got there, Jimmy, our youth leader, he said to me, you, my girl, I was sitting in the back row. I was determined to be very naughty on that camp. I actually went with a mindset because I was a youth leader and a very good girl in the other church. So I actually really wanted to be naughty because I never got to be the naughty child. So I sat in the back seat and I was just very angry. I suppose that was the truth about it. But and the youth pastor shouted out to me and he said, you in the purple jacket, you're going to have a God moment. You're going to have an encounter. I don't know if that's what he said, but God's got a meeting with you this weekend. So I thought, yeah, I know. I got paid for it to go. I didn't even get asked. Because I did know. But anyway, it was just such a confirmation. And lo and behold, the second night, the Holy Spirit came. It was a manifestation. People were laughing, crying. There were people, there was a guy who was really, demonically manifesting in the background. And I was standing there and I felt, in my spirit, I heard, come away, come away and dance with me. And I thought, oh, how lame, you know. Now I must dance. Like, how stupid. I don't know any of these people. I don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. I'm the new kid. I'm actually supposed to be naughty. Now I'm, you know. And I was really resistant because I actually did, I really did know how the Holy Spirit worked. So I was really resistant. And then next thing, Jimmy, he really heard God. He came to me and he said, God has just told you to do something. And I really want to encourage you to do it now. Oh, so cross. Anyway, I thought, well, I have to. I mean, this is too big. It's too mind-blowing. So I went to the back of the hall, and I stood there, and I said, okay, God, you've got my attention now. And took a long time. But you got my attention now. Now come, you know. And I just stood there, and I said, well, what do I do? And I put my arms out. I closed my eyes. And I just pictured in my mind Jesus coming towards me. And as Jesus came towards me, he took my arms, he held my arms, and to this moment, I can't even begin to tell you the warmth of his hands. It was just unbelievable. And he took my arms, and I started to dance. And I don't dance. I don't know how to dance. And I started to dance, and dance, and dance, and dance. And your kids were there, Steve and Elian, and Jared was there, and Sarah and Naomi. And they can tell you this is the truth. And I danced, and I danced. And next thing, I looked up, and everybody was looking at me. But so it had almost stopped. The worship had almost stopped. But I was just literally, I was so caught up in the beauty of Jesus, in the awesomeness of Jesus, in the fact that Jesus took time out to dance with me. He chose to dance with me. It was just a very significant encounter. And I cannot tell you how that night I made the decision that Jesus is real and I will serve him for the rest of my life because I knew that he was real. It came out of that. And then they all said, oh, you're dancing so well. So, and then also I just want to explain the second encounter. A while back, I'd just been so excited about the Lord, and I woke up one morning, it was before I had Joel, and I woke up one morning, and I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, really, I just want to encounter with you. I just want something new. And I sat down on my couch, and I had a cup of coffee, and I closed my eyes, and I saw this lift go up in front of me, this lift. And I felt like him saying, well, get in the lift. I thought, how stupid. Like, this is so my imagination. How stupid. Then I thought, well, no one's here. I don't ever have to tell anyone if I got in the lift or not. So I've got nothing to lose. So let me just get in the lift. So I got in this lift. And I will explain this to you later about an encounter. But I got into this lift. I went up into this lift. And it was this huge, amazing room. It was just the most beautiful, beautiful room. And at first, I thought, is this the Holy of Holies? And then there were two men with me, and they were obviously two angels. And in this room, it was almost like a library, if I can explain it like that, or maybe a warehouse is probably the better word. But it had rows, and it had aisles, and these aisles just went on forever and ever. And as I went down the one aisle, I saw there were like big drawers on these. Can you imagine macro and almost like big drawers and on these shelves? And on every drawer's name was a person. On every drawer there was a person's name. And I was like, wow. And I said to the angels, I said, what is this? Whose names are all these people? And he said, this is my room where all the churches in the whole world, I have got aisles for them. And in the churches, the people in the churches, these are their names. So I said, is there an aisle for Highway? So he said, yes. So we went down this aisle in Highway. And there I saw names. I saw names of people that were in our church before. I saw names of people that I didn't know, and I saw my name. And it was up there, and I said, can I go see what is in my box? And I got on this ladder, and I opened up this drawer, and there were just jewels and gifts and riches, and it was just the most exciting, amazing time. And literally, the Lord said to me, every person in Highway, I have got a box for every person to unlock. Every Christian, every person. Because Daddy gives good gifts. And He wants to adorn us with good gifts. But we need to know how to take that drawer, how to open that drawer, and how to put that on us. So, that was just two. I had another amazing one on Friday night, but got to get on. Encounters are the bridge that bring transformation in our minds. You see, our minds work against us, if I can put it in this context, because our spirits are an encounter is a very spiritual thing. It's an incredibly spiritual time. It's your spirit connecting with the Spirit of Heaven. It's your spirit connecting to Jesus, Father and Holy Spirit. It's your mind cannot mentally do the maths and figure out the sums and balance at the end of the day. Because God hasn't created our minds for that. Although God says we have the mind of Christ, I believe when He says that, He's talking about the renewed mind. When our mind is renewed, our mind is the mind of Christ. But we all know that we don't always renew our minds. But that's something that we want to walk into, right? So encounters are the bridge that bring about transformation in our minds. Because our normal minds limit the power of our destiny. If you knew how big God's plan was for your life, your mind wouldn't do the maths. When God says that I have good things planned for you, we think this is good, but He always thinks this is 10 times better. His mind is so much bigger, so much better, so much more exciting. So encounters release revelation, your calling, and heaven's favor over your lives. It says in Joel 2, it says, He pours out His Spirit on all flesh. So His Spirit is for everyone. It's not for just the whosoever's. Now tonight, I want to just stop here and I want to just explain something to you. But it has really grieved my heart in the past few months or however, that so often we look to manifestations to determine whether God came. And as humans, it's natural because we want to see if God is there. Because the truth is, we don't really believe that God is there. But actually, God is always wanting to connect with you. God is always wanting to speak with you. The Father loves you. Holy Spirit loves you. Jesus loves you. They are always wanting to touch you. And so I believe as a church, if I can say this, James, we have not taught our people how to connect with God. And I feel like there's been this season of we have the fire tunnel, and this is honestly, I'm bearing my heart with you. We have a fire tunnel, and people who get touched and people who manifest in the presence, that is amazing for them, and they're getting touched. But what about the person behind that person who didn't get touched and who actually walked through the fire tunnel in faith? It doesn't mean their faith wasn't great. It doesn't mean they did anything wrong. But they walked out and they didn't feel anything. And they walk out that door and they say, well, tonight wasn't my night. God didn't want to speak to me tonight. You know, God spoke to James and God spoke to Steve. It wasn't for me. And actually, what we're doing is that's totally unbiblical. That is such a lie. Because God wants to meet with every single one of us all of the time. Why? Because in the Bible, Jesus is in us. We are in the Father. The Father is communion with Jesus. Jesus is communing with the Father. Holy Spirit is setting us up. Holy Spirit is doing a work. The angels are in the place. What's happening? And yet we look to manifestations, and now manifestations are happening, yes, because God is in that place. All right? But what I am saying, please hear my heart, is when we only look to manifestations and we say, oh, so God was there. Actually, quite frankly, we have created a religion. We have boxed God to a manifestation. It's not about the manifestations. It's about the connecting. It's about you walking out here and saying, tonight I met with Jesus in a special way. I didn't have to laugh. I didn't have to cry. I didn't have to fall down. But man, it was powerful. And man, it was personal. And I want to go and write it in my journal, because today that was something that was so incredibly special. Now, I'm not knocking a manifestation. I'm not knocking the fire tunnel. We know that in Acts 2, specifically, it says there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People needed to be baptized with the Spirit. So I love that. I love the fire tunnels. I love the laughing, the crying, the falling, the shaking. I'm all for that. But please hear my heart. I am not for the person that walks out the door saying, tonight I missed it. Because that is not true. So I wanted to clear that up. So tonight, we are going to have an encounter. Are you guys getting ready for this? Because I want to lead you into something, and hopefully your spirits are just becoming a little bit more open. So it says, how do we know that if we look to manifestations, it's wrong all the time? Because it says in Ephesians 1, verses 3, it says that right now, you and I are seated in the heavenly realms. Okay, now I'm just touching. I mean, there is so much to unpack on this topic. But right now, you and I are seated in the heavenly realms. But you're bizarre. I can't see it. I'm seated in the chairs. I'm seated in the highway. No. You see, our spirits are in another realm. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you have a new creation, which we know about. Your spirit is a new creation. It is in constant commune with the Father. So I want to pose to you right now that your spirit is in the throne room of heaven. I'm posing it. I'm not saying I'm true. I'm saying your spirit, when it says you are seated in heavenly realms, he's saying something deeper to us. He's saying, you know what, guys? It's not about the seen. It's about the unseen. And we know that the word says that the unseen is greater than the seen. So right now, your spirits are in the throne room of heaven. I want to pose to you, just close your eyes and just feel, what does it feel like? Try, just say, I'm in the throne, what does it look like? Is my spirit, do I believe it? Maybe. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? You can open your eyes. I have learned something that is just incredibly exciting for me. And it's just, as Christians, we need to cultivate our spirits within, if I can put it that way. And so what I found is, and I stumbled on this by chance, but I found that if I go to the gym, and when I get on the treadmill, this is very funny, but I get on the treadmill and there's a light at the other side of the treadmill, and I start to run on the treadmill. But actually what happens is I focus on the light and I allow my brain to switch off, to absolutely switch off. You see, that is the key, to switch your mind off, because your mind will prevent you from knowing what is happening right now in the spirit realm. Your mind is what prevents you. So here I am, I'm jogging on this treadmill, and I just start switching my mind off and focusing on this light. And I didn't have any music, and as I was jogging, I began to feel my spirit worshiping. I began to feel my inner man speaking to me. I began to feel this excitement, and I felt the singing, and I felt God, and I began to feel God speaking to me. And I said to James, I just want to go back to the gym. Because I go to the gym and I hear God. Like, you don't, so you're not supposed to hear God at the gym. But you know what the key is? The key is switching your mind off. And our minds are always in the natural. Our minds are always onto the next thing. Our minds are always thinking here, there, every. We know our minds. So our minds don't work with the fact that we are seated in the heavenly realms right now. But we need to learn to turn our minds off. I have to hurry up. I've said your spirit is so much bigger than your body. I just wanted to say I've really had a revelation of this. Holy Spirit inside of you is huge. Huge. Why? Angels are huge. Angels are never small. On every account in the Bible, when he met the archangel, when they spoke about the angels in the Bible, they towered over the men in those days. So our spirits are in charge of angels. You are in charge of an angel. Angels are not above us. No. Angels are not above us. We are above angels. But we have this spooky thing about angels. Oh, it's so cool. It's so spiritual. Actually, your spirit is above an angel. And an angel cannot be commissioned until your spirit allows that angel to go. Angels work on our authority. So I wanted to explain that to you about your spirits are so much bigger than your bodies. And that's why oftentimes when the Holy Spirit does come, people do shake. There is a shaking because your mortal body is so small. It makes sense. This mortal body is so small and it's like encapsulating. And God, Holy Spirit, huge Holy Spirit, is meeting with your spirit. So sometimes you do shake. So that's just an obvious one. So let's get into the fun. I've left out a whole lot of points, but how do I have an encounter? It's an attitude or place of receiving. You've got to want it. Your heart's got to be saying, I want this, man. I don't want to be left out. I want this. No distract. You've got to turn off the radio, turn off the cell phones. No, don't allow any distractions. It's just unhelpful. It's just an unhelpful thing. But the big thing is to let go. And now I do know that learners, cognitive people, if that's the right word, people who are very brainy, battle with this. It's a real challenge to say, let go of your mind and allow it to go past your spirit. It's a big deal for a lot of people, but you've got to allow it to go past your mind. Big point is to allow your imagination to flow. James mentioned it tonight. Your imagination is incredibly powerful. Now, I want to just pose to you, if you have sat down and if you have said, God, I am coming to meet with you tonight. This is our special time. And you sit down and suddenly you say, okay, well, I don't know how to start. So I'm just going to imagine. God has given you an imagination for a reason. Firstly, no one is going to know what you imagined. So it doesn't matter. You're not going to be wrong. As children, we were taught to use our imaginations. As adults, we are told to put our imaginations away. And actually, it is so not kingdom-like. Because when you start to imagine something, Holy Spirit takes that very thing and works with it. However, in saying that, if you've put aside the time and said, okay, God, I want to have this encounter with you, and something comes into your mind, is that your imagination? If you have asked God, if you have sat down and you've taken the time, is that your imagination? I don't think so, because you've allowed God to come. You've allowed the Holy Spirit to come. So tonight, even when I do this thing with you, don't worry. Don't be scared of allowing your imagination to flow. And this is a big deal because I feel that a lot of the world is into spiritual, is into New Age, is into Satanism, is into powers, is into all these things that are in the dark spiritual realm. And I actually think that as Christians, we have become scared. And actually, we are scared to open our spirits in case something comes into us. It's an old mindset, an old teaching. It needs to be broken off us. If we are Christians, nothing can come into us. But what I'm saying is that we have actually got a fear of letting our spirits go. We've actually got a fear of letting go, of going out of control. And why? Because the truth is, we've seen and heard of people hissing like snakes and all the horrific things that have happened in manifestations. And so we get scared. We get scared because we say we don't want to do that. But actually, Satan has used that to lie to us, to keep us from the very thing that is meant to be unlocking an encounter for our lives. So we cannot allow things like that to prevent us. And I just want to share with you, the spiritual realm is real. It is more real, it is more tangible, it is more amazing than anything you have ever seen or described. It is an incredible journey to go on. And you've all here, so I'm sure you've been on one. But I just want to explain, a while ago, just to tell you another story quickly as I close. James and I and the youth, we did a, the Mind, Body, and Soul Fair. We heard there's a Mind, Body, and Soul Fair happening at Westville Civic Center. We thought, hang on, these people are spiritual. They're all spooky. They think they're great. But hang, we've got Jesus. And Jesus is the greatest. So we're going to book a table, and we're going to the Mind, Body, and Soul Fair. And it was amazing, just by the way. It's amazing. We rented out this table, and we said, okay, free prophecies. Everyone was charging. All these people were charging to have you. You came to their table, and they charged you. And we had a table that said, if you want to hear from God, free. Our line was, like, huge. All these people. It was awesome. And all these people were standing in this queue waiting to hear prophecies. And just to throw it in there, the more you prophesy, the more accurate you become. So at the start of it, we were all like really scared. And by the end of 4 hours, we were just da-da-da-da, just saying what it is. Because your mind becomes so in tune with the Holy Spirit. It really does. You really do learn. But James somehow hooked up this talk where he got to talk amongst all these spiritists and these new age people and these psychics, and he managed to get a half an hour slot where he got to speak about, I don't even know what he spoke about, God, the gospel, something like that. Anyway, as I wasn't in his talk, as he was speaking, there was this lady, she was a psychic, and I think it was in that, but anyway, there's a psychic, and she said to James afterwards, she came up to James and she said to him, she said, what's that word? She said, you have such big spiritual guides. And he looked at her and he thought, angels. That's all they are. They're just angels. But you see, these people can see things because they've opened up their spirits to see things. The world has opened up their spirits to see things, guys. We need to be real. As Christians, we need to tap into the source that God has created us so we can see God and not manifest, but we can literally take His love to the people in the way that they need to be taken to. The world is bored of plain old Christianity. They are waiting for us to come to them with the real stuff. And this is the real stuff. She saw a spirit guide, what it looked like in her mind. And so I really want to encourage you tonight. We're going to go into something a lot different. It's nothing great. It's nothing spectacular. It's just words I've put together combined with Sozo. But I really want to just ask you guys tonight, to Holy Spirit is here. I want to ask you to open up your minds. Open up your hearts. Allow your imaginations to be opened up. You've got nothing to lose. Just remember my words. You don't have to tell anyone. You never have to tell. But don't be scared to do it, because you're going to miss out if you do. So I really do. I want to ask Dave to come up on the piano. And are you guys ready? Are you ready to encounter? No. Very good. She's a teacher. Cognitive person. No. Channel your mind. Channel your mind. It's not the time to think about your children. It's not the time to think about tomorrow. It's not the time to think about home or supper. It's the time to allow your imagination to flow.
To follow on from that, I see what Steve is asking. Based on what Corinne said, Corinne's not saying, okay, so, you know, we throw our brains away. What she's saying is, what happens is the intellectual side of our brains, you know, you get your left brain and your right brain thinkers. The intellectual side of our brain, you know, the accountants and engineers and those kind of people, what they do is they dissect everything. So they suddenly they see a picture, and then the intellectual side of their brain starts dissecting that and goes, well, actually, it's because you had pizza this morning, and what's happening is, and you suddenly start to dissect everything. A right brain creative thinker just goes, whoa, that is beautiful. And then they see a bigger picture. So when Corinne says, don't lose your mind, what she means is, she's saying, don't try and dissect what the creative side of your brain is seeing. You need to let the left brain, but that intellectual side of your brain, you just need to close that door. And don't dissect what's going on, because then you're going to find the Holy Spirit's going to start moving. Does that make sense? Awesome.
Okay, so you guys ready? I'm going to ask you to get up, to sit in a place quite, I don't want you very far away, because it's very hard for me. But I don't want you to be in a space where you can see anybody or touch anybody. I want you to get into your own space with God. We've got all the space here. Just to get into your own space where you're seated, you're comfortable. And then I'm going to ask that the lights get dimmed. And just as long as I don't want you to be aware of the person to your left or your right. This is time out. This is your time to meet God. This is special. Yeah. If you want, whatever. If you even want to go, you can go. It's fine. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that tonight you want to meet with your children more than they want to meet with you. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Just can you feel him right now? Just sense him. Sense him. Turn your affections. Turn your thoughts towards heaven. Heavenly thoughts. Maybe utter how much you love him. Maybe think on the things that he has done for you today. Become aware of his presence. I want you to picture Jesus coming towards you now. In Revelation 19, the scripture talks about his eyes being like fire. And it mentions that he's coming on a white horse. And on his leg is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, faithful and true. This is Jesus. But I want you to think about who is Jesus to you personally. How do you imagine him to be? What does he look like? How does he make you feel? Right next to you. Feel him. Now I want you to ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you love most about me? What do you love most about me, Jesus? Remember the words that come to your mouths first time are always the words of God. Whatever just came to your mind, that was God. That was Him. Jesus, what do you want to show me? Allow Him to take you into the heavenly realms and to show you something special. Now let Him take you to the edge of heaven, to where He will show you a picture of your whole life. Can you see your life? It's like a movie screen that's just going to come up before your eyes now. Memories, pictures, past memories. Works like a movie, this world. Now let Him show you that He has been with you in everything, every circumstance. Let Him reveal to you where He was in the moments that you thought He was when He wasn't there. There's a time when you felt like Jesus wasn't there. Just ask Jesus, where were you in that moment when that thing happened? I didn't feel you, but where were you, Jesus? Freedom to you in these areas of your life, whatever they may be. Now I want you to ask Jesus, Jesus, what is the truth about you? Where were you? Those times. are you now? What are you like? Not in a religious way, but in a personal way. Jesus wants to show you the Father. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father gives good gifts and he reveals callings. The Father has been planning your calling from the day you were born. He knew you and he knew that you'd be in this room right now with him. Allow Jesus, imagine this. Allow Jesus to take you, to take your hand and to take you to the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus loves the Father. He is so proud. Now look into the Father's eyes. And you will see complete peace. He is the creator, the one who calls things into life. I want you to ask him this question. Father, are you pleased with me? Have I pleased you, Father? Thoughts towards me. Gift you want to give me? The Father gives good gifts. Ask him. What do you want to give me? Imagine yourself sitting on your Father's lap. What is that like? This big, strong Father who created the heavens with one, created the heavens and the earth with his voice. How do you feel sitting on his lap? What is he saying to you right now? Father, I ask now that you would reveal the Holy Spirit, the one that is the comforter, the one that has incredible protections, the one who is going to lead you into all truth, Let the Father take you into that place where the presence of God, the fire of God, and the Holy Spirit is all around you, swirling in color, swirling in movement. Holy Spirit has chosen to dwell inside of you. The Spirit that comes on us in boldness and truth to transform the world and the nations around us. The same Spirit that was in the upper room that led the disciples to change the world. He wants to lead you into places of revelation. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and fall on every single person in this place.
Rainfall, healing rainfall. Taste and see. Taste and see. There's someone tonight in a dark place. You've had an experience where you've been in a very dark room, being very afraid, very frightened, very alone. Right where you are right now, I want you to see Jesus coming into that room. He's walking into that room. He's holding a light in his hand. See him coming into you. You see him holding your hand. And he guides you out of that room right now. You don't need to be afraid anymore. He's never going to leave you alone in a dark place. Break off that fear in the name of Jesus. Bring the light of the Holy Spirit into that situation. I've overcome the world.
On your brains. Wasn't that awesome? It's coming out. We're just going to sing a song to close. But if God's still ministering, just allow Him to minister. Just stay in that atmosphere of hearing. But that's it.